welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, go to pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all you non-members out there, sign up for our free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the Apple Store and Google Play. In today's podcast, we feature an episode of Contractor Evolution from Breakthrough Academy. We get to hear from Ryan Stewart about how he was able to cut down his work weeks from 70 hours to under 40, and how he has doubled his profit margin and leads an $11 million contracting company with a team of 25.
Hey guys, Benji and Igor here from the Contractor Evolution Studio.
I want you to think for a second about, as a contractor and as a business owner, all the demands you have on your time. So there's the minutiae, all the small stuff, the task lists, the onslaught of questions from staff or customers. There's the steady stream of notifications coming at you through your many, many devices all day. There's the phone calls you still need to return. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I could go on forever, but you get it. Then there is the higher impact, more strategic stuff that actually moves the business forward. And so the stuff that comes to mind there would be analyzing last quarter's financial statements and learning what you need to tweak so that next quarter is better. Interviewing candidates for the office manager role you need to hire. Maybe there's a big pre-construction meeting with a huge client coming up where you need to build out your strategic plan for next year.
Now, the reality is that if you want to be a high-level entrepreneur, you need to be able to discern what is truly important for the organization from this ever-present list of to-dos. You need to learn the power of saying no to the barrage of requests and interruptions that, while they're necessary today, don't have a powerful impact on the business next year and beyond.
Yeah, and while business gurus and YouTube phonies, they talk nonstop about goal setting and the power of visualization and designing your dream life, few people, I think, have the knowledge and discipline required to actually align those long-term goals with their short-term actions, meaning what they do weekly, daily, monthly. This is what priority management is.
Totally. Now, successful leaders, they understand that, yes, there's always a ton to do in business. And while it does need to get done, there truly is a formula to prioritize, delegate, and schedule the things that leave them with enough time and bandwidth that they need in order to be able to focus. Now, one person that does this tremendously well is our guest today, Ryan Stewart from RJS Construction. Now, Ryan runs a general contracting company in the Vancouver area that he started 10 years ago. And he was inspired to start his own business after working for a construction company, a different construction company, where working Saturdays and constant chaos were the norm. Now, while RJS Construction grew steadily in its first few years, the big shift really happened 5 years ago when he realized that his quality of life and his family time was more important than just purely growing revenue. Now, what happened is he dove into this world of disciplined priority management and focused block scheduling, not just for himself, but also for all of his staff. And the results, they've been tremendous. In the past 5 years, he's created this incredibly balanced lifestyle, working 40 hours a week or less, spending a ton of time with his wife, his two young children, and his many friends on the regular awesome adventures that he does on his side-by-side, snowmobiling, skiing, camping, all that kind of fun stuff. Now, while living this awesome lifestyle, he's also 4X'd the size of his team in the past 5 years at RJS to 25 direct employees that are producing $12 million in revenue this year. And get this, even with all of this awesome stuff going on, he's doubled in a ready, healthy profit margin at RJS.
Ryan is so chock full of wisdom and gold nuggets, some of my favorites from this episode. He talks about how he protects certain power zones in his calendar that are fully dedicated to thinking through the priorities of the business. He goes in depth into the process he uses to brain dump all those thoughts buzzing around in his head, how he prioritizes them, how he schedules and executes them, and how he does all this in a super methodical way to ensure that no details get missed, but also that he's never overwhelmed. And lastly, he tells us why he teaches and coaches his staff to develop the same mindset around priority management and block scheduling so that they too can have this level of deep focus. Let's get into what it takes to drive both business success and lifestyle with Ryan Stewart.
You're watching Contractor Evolution, where we unpack the systems, tactics, and skills you need to take your fast-growing contracting business to the next level.
You're here to learn what it takes to scale up, work less, and increase profitability. You've come to the right place.
Stay tuned to learn what separates the new breed of contractor from the old school, and welcome to your ultimate guide on the business of contracting. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
It's good to see you, man.
Good to see you guys too.
Let's get right into it. So tell us a little bit about your life pre-priority management.
Pre-priority management was definitely a little messy and chaotic. Every day was shoot from the hip, putting out fires, figuring out stuff as you go. No real plan. Oh, you try to put a plan in your head, but as soon as stuff starts happening, you know, the plan's gone out the window and you're reacting to everything that goes on around you. It's tough, and everyone, you know, stressful, and you know, home life and work life, it's definitely tough.
Mm-hmm. I remember going through something very, very similar in the early days. You know, you're wasting an unbelievable amount of hours, mainly because you're letting other people dictate kind of like when you do things, how you do things. There's no intentionality to your day or your week, and it can feel, for me at least, it really felt like a bit of a hamster wheel.
Totally. Yeah, I think, you know, you're not even the boss. Everyone else is the boss. You're just doing whatever else wants.
Totally.
Which is now looking back wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I remember quite a while back having like 8 or 9 painters. You've got like 4 or 5 different job sites going on at every one time. When you aggregate all those people, like all those customers, all those employees, everyone wants something from you, you can easily blow through a 10, 12 hour day, and you look back at it and you're like, what have I actually achieved from like a pure revenue generating perspective in my business? And it's really very little. All you've been doing is putting out fires, going to the needs of other people, and it doesn't result in you doing anything. What I'm curious about, Ryan, for you, like you also had a young family at the time. What was it like between the business, family, everything that kids needed from you? What did your like day-to-day life look like at that time?
It was tough, like having young kids at home. And then, you know, my wife was there with them all day long. And, you know, you work 10, 12 hours a day or more even sometimes and weekends, and you get home and then you've got kids to deal with and stuff, and then put them to bed. And then I'm trying to catch up because, you know, you use that excuse, what did I do all day? So, you know, kids are in bed, it's 9 o'clock, and now you start actually doing some work.
Totally.
Because you have some free, undistracted time, right?
Yeah.
And then you're tired and you're burnt out after doing that for over and over and over.
Totally. Yeah, it's a completely unsustainable pattern. Was there like a specific moment back in the day where it dawned on you, you're just like, nah, you know what, this doesn't work, I need to make a change here?
Totally. It was a few years in business. I mean, we were growing and things were overly going well from what I thought. You know, we were making money and got some good employees and stuff's happening. But we finished year end and I got my financials and I was looking at it and I was like, hey, we did pretty good. But then I looked at my hours and then I looked at my kids now getting a little bit older and I'm like, it was good, but I worked for this money. Like I worked really, really hard for this money. You know, I was giving up family time more so, which bothered me. I wanted to be a more active dad. But I worked a lot, like weekends, long weekends, nights, early mornings. Like, so even though it looks good, like, is it good and sustainable moving forward? And I said to myself, I can't go this level or grow even more and go the way I'm going. Like, one, I'm going to have no relationship with my family, or I'm going to get a divorce because I'm not around my wife. And yeah, I might continue to make money, but at a chaotic, busy, stressful way.
Totally. I think a lot of our listeners can relate to that moment. They have experienced it before, or they're there right now, or they're going to soon. So that's a really interesting point. Tell us a bit more about, like, how is it now? Like, you know, your kids are growing up. The RJS is still doing really well. Like, tell us a bit about the balance. Do you have time for recreational activities? Do you hang out with your friends? Like, just give us a bit of a picture of how it's improved since then.
Yeah, I mean, it's go back 5 years. It's dramatically different than 5 years ago. You know, I probably average under 40 hours a week now versus 50, 60, or, you know, even those 70-hour work weeks where you're just going like crazy. But it's funny when you look back, I actually get more production out of myself and call it my team now working less.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Stress levels lower?
Way lower. So like I think every business owner has like a level of stress they're under, but that high stress is almost non-existent, or when it comes, it comes in bursts. But because your time management and your stress levels and your control is so good, when those stressful times come, you can quickly deal with them and get back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the note of that stress, one of the things I think about sometimes that's really front of mind for me is this concept of, as a business owner, you fill so many different seats in the organization. Even when you're doing it right, you fill them at some level and have some level of oversight. And I think that a lot of business owners don't actively think about like how mentally taxing it is if you don't actively manage your priority management and your focuses, because you just have so many different things coming at you. And if you think about in a different company, if you've got some really high level, like a head of marketing or a head of sales or a head of production or financial controller or whatever, even though they might have a pretty high level position, their focus is pretty singular, right? And for you as a business owner, the thing that I think really has got to be front of mind is that you're actively being pulled in so many different directions all the time. And there's a huge difference between your job and that of so many others where a person has a more focused role. So unless you're aware of it, kind of like what we're talking about with Ryan here, it's so easy for that to begin to pull you in so many directions. And it's no wonder that most people are stressed and overwhelmed and not able to do these things that they want to do very well, because you are pulled in so many of these directions all the time.
And the thing that happens when you get to a state of overwhelm is the good stuff in your life gets chopped first.
Totally.
Family, friends, fun weekends, camping trips, hunting trips, like dinners out, whatever it is that brings color and enjoyment to your life, which we would argue, we've talked about this in other episodes, like I would say you need that to make it over the long haul. That's the stuff that goes to the wayside, and you know, all work, no play makes Jack a dull boy, or Ryan a dull boy in this case. So obviously now you figured some stuff out, which is awesome. And I really want to dive into sort of your habits and practices and the way that you manage your calendar, the way that you analyze priorities. And I'm looking forward to that. But Igor, why don't you really quick just give us like a bit of a step-by-step summary of the priority management process?
Totally. And I'll say there's really two different things going on here. And I think about them as two distinct elements. One is how well somebody manages their time blocks specifically. And that's more of like a focus kind of element of how well can you be focused on one thing and execute that one thing super well. And separate from that is this concept of priority management, where you're looking at, of all the different things I do, what do I actually prioritize and focus on? So when you look at my schedule, it's pretty blocked out. Like, just even when you visually look at it, there's just chunks of time that are dedicated and often color-coded for different kinds of activities. So when I'm doing one thing, I'm super present with that one thing. And I know Ryan is as well, and that's one of the things I'm excited to get into with him. But this concept of like, you can really only do one thing really well, is a pretty powerful one. And when you let yourself get you let distractions in, whether it's through your phone or people walking into your office or you being like mentally drifting, you cannot execute on multiple things at one time. So that's kind of the first concept, is like you have to be able to look at your calendar and protect zones of it and say, like, I'm going to protect this time. The phone is off, the door is closed. There's all, like, all the notifications of the computer are off. Like, I'm sitting down and I'm doing this one thing well. So that's a part of it. That's in, and I'd call that block scheduling. The other part of this is how you figure out, like, from a priority management perspective, what you're actively going to go and focus on. So there's two different paradigms here, right? Paradigm, and the first one here, the paradigm one is like where you've got a situation where other people can impact what goes into your mind and your energy and your focus. And that's where I think most people, when I see, like, especially in the contracting space, a lot of business owners run around like this, right? You've got what is your most scarce resource, your focus, your time, your energy, and you let something from the total outside come and derail mm-hmm. what you want to do, whether it's a customer, whether it's an employee, whether it's the accountant or the lawyer, whatever calling. And the idea is, like, how do you flip that and say, what is actually most important for me, for the organization, for what I want to achieve, and structure your week and your day around that? That's a totally different paradigm shift, right? And the way to do that is that you first have to be clear on what your goals and your priorities are, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's over the year, over a quarter, over a month, over a week, whatever. But you have to be able to say, here's what I want to go out and achieve, whether that's certain initiatives in the business, like I really need to hire an operations manager and a financial controller, or whether it's more simple, like we got to get 6 estimates done and pushed out the door this week with proposals out, or we got to produce a certain number of hours or get to completion of these jobs or whatever. But you have to be able to say, like, here's what I want to go and do. And then from there, break down, like, hey, here are the tasks and the specific things that need to happen, and literally write them out. And again, I want to really get into this with Ryan, but it's that mental exercise within these time blocks I talked about, where you sit down and you're like, for me to achieve this goal or this initiative on a piece of paper or an Excel file or whatever, here's the list of stuff mm-hmm. that I need to get done. And here's how long each of these things is going to take. And here's the level of priority, right? So if I need to sit down, I'm hiring new people. Okay, so I got to hire, I need to figure out what is this, like, ideal candidate profile even like of this person that needs an hour and a half of my focused energy if I'm going to hire someone well for the right position. And then I need to really think through tactically that job posting and not just throw some shit together in like 20 minutes. I mean, like, sit down, think through it, right? And then I need to sit down and think through what is going to be the full recruitment strategy and advertising strategy for this. And there's, I'm just illustrating some simple examples, but I think you get the idea. Is like all of this requires pretty focused thought, right?
You're breaking it down into its constituent parts.
Exactly.
Right? So there's a level of analysis that's required to understand the whole in terms of the thing, the parts that make it up. But the important thing that you just said is it comes from you.
Exactly.
It's like, what do you and your business, what do you want to do? And that's the starting point, not what is the person on the phone demanding? What does my customer, exactly. my employee need on site right now? Like, it's like, and the word you said a few minutes ago that I really like is you're protecting zones. Because we all know as business totally. Owners, there's all these tentacles coming in on your schedule and your time trying to take it away from you.
More than in any other kind of job.
Totally, totally. Yeah. So it's your job to kind of like box that out and be like, no, right now I am creating the ideal candidate profile, or I'm reviewing my numbers from last quarter, or I'm doing whatever it is that I did in the brain dump, which we're going to talk about in a second, that is going to lead me towards those goals.
Exactly, exactly. Now on the concept of priority management, here's the other complexity that comes in is everything is a priority, right? And everything's important. So one of the hallmarks of what I see in great leaders is who can actually distinguish what is truly a priority and what isn't,
right?
It's because it's the selection of the things that you don't do that are often the most pivotal and important decisions. Because if you did everything you wanted to do or you felt that was important, you'd be working like 100 hours in a week, right? So it's basically being able to say, okay, if we need to get these people hired by mid-June, and right now it's the 3rd of May, what needs to happen in the next week for that process to move forward and what doesn't need to happen? And to be able to break that down, and I call that like this prioritization. And at a most basic level, you can just simply call it A, B, or C. Like, what is an A priority this week versus what feels important but could really happen next week? So it's really being able to make those judgment calls of what's factually high priority right now, and then looking at how long is this going to take, right? And so here's the key point I want to make is when you're properly managing your priorities, you're going through this mental exercise of mapping a week before you schedule these blocks into your calendar versus the other way around versus, you know, where it's like, okay, I got to hire this person. I'm going to stick this into the calendar. Customer Smith wants to meet at this time. These employees need me at this time. These other employees need me at that time, right? And you just like throw this stuff like a little jigsaw puzzle and you're like, okay, how much can I possibly cram into these 5 days or maybe 7 days, right, into my calendar versus a blank slate calendar going into a week and saying, what needs to happen this week? Mm-hmm. Those are two totally different ways of going about stuffing stuff into a schedule, right? And what I'd argue is that this approach of sitting down methodically thinking every week what needs to happen here is the really important one. And about, was it 7-8 years ago, I had a priority management coach, and for about a year and a half, she would force me to think through these things every single week. So I had a 2-hour block with her at the end of every week where we would be mapping out the next week. And she's the one that asked me these really, really critical questions of, you know, and I had, I think I had 19 direct reports at that time. And it was always a question of like, what is the priority this week, Igor? Right. And is that actually important? Like she would grill me and like explain to me why that is actually important. Right. And then once we diluted that list down, then we'd look at how long is it going to take? Where's the smartest for it to go, for it to not go, so on and so forth. But most people will completely skip over or miss on that one and just go stuff things into their schedule.
Or they don't see the difference that like there is a distinction between an A priority and a C priority. And this is the part where it is kind of a learned skill at some point. It's if you haven't maybe been trained or haven't learned what Ryan has learned over the years, it's all going to look really, 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 everything's an A priority and everything needs to get done this week.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And right. I think the smartest people can really distinguish what not to do.
I was just going to say, I think, when you're tired and stressed out too, and you maybe do get some time to work on some priorities, the A priority that might be a bigger thinking, longer hour one tends to get put aside, and maybe the easy fun C one is the one that you do when you get some time.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
that happens a lot. Also,
my grandpa was a really high level military general, like thousands and thousands of people, you know, indirectly under him. But one of the things he used to tell me when I was quite young, he's like, most people don't really think so much because it's the hardest work there is. Right. Yeah. And that's especially when you're like mentally tired, especially in this construction kind of contracting environment where there's just so many variables, there's so many people involved. Like this isn't like a technology company, it's based on people, and you're running around, there's different sites and different customers and employees and stuff. And at the end of the day, it's like the energy to sit down and think can be pretty challenging. Anyway, enough about my thoughts. What I'm curious is so Ryan, for you, tell me a bit about how this framework of priority management and then block scheduling effectively, how it works for you. Like when do you find that time to priority manage, and what does that process look like in your world?
So the first thing I started doing was block scheduling out my scheduling, like actually taking time aside to put together my schedule.
Right. So scheduling time for scheduling.
Scheduling time. Very meta. For scheduling. if you're just doing it random, it's going to be random. It's going to get messy and chaotic. So I tend to do it Monday mornings. I leave my Monday morning open for that. Kind of look at the day, the week, the month, even 2 months, 6 months, even really a year. Like if you have stuff as far as a year out, put it in your schedule and then it's there. Put it as a 1 month reminder before, so you know it's coming up.
That's an important, I'll just pause there. That is an important prerequisite for this. Like you understand your strategic plan, you understand your annual goals. Those are broken down quarterly. That's what you refer back to each Monday morning when you're like, okay, what really matters this week? Mm-hmm. It's not just like, what's the theme of the week? I'll just throw some stuff in here. You're referring back to something that is very, very, very premeditated, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've got the goal Monday morning, you're thinking through it, then what?
So, sit down, schedule out the whole, like first is the day and the week you kind of look at, and then you look beyond there. Mm-hmm. And put as much stuff as you can in there, but you also have to have the space for, we're in construction, you know, something might come up on site. One of your guys wants to talk to you. You do have to allow that. You can't.
Totally, yeah, I was going to ask this. So this is really interesting. Monday morning, and I almost kind of love that you bring that up, because my Monday mornings are, I'm almost like opposite, for better or worse. I've always been in very focused like people and team meetings right from Monday morning. Why do you choose Monday morning? And my main question that I'm actually very curious about is, how do you not like have that, or that, you know, where people are starting the week and they need this and that from you as the week kicks off? How do you deal with that stuff?
So I think Monday morning construction is typically a pretty busy busy time, like for the sites itself, mm-hmm. right? The office tends to be not too bad. We're doing a lot more admin in the office. We tend to do our, call it people meetings and getting all of that stuff for Tuesdays, because especially if some sites were maybe open on the weekend or whatnot, some trades want to, so stuff pops up. So we let kind of the sites get organized and what they need for the week, and then we kind of meet on that on Tuesdays. And then if we need to adjust any schedules or whatnot, we kind of do it from there.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And on that Monday morning, are you at the office, or where do you, just paint the picture for me. Like, so you wake up in the morning, what is your, like, where do you go? How do you get in the right headspace to actually think?
So I go to the office. I usually get there a little bit earlier than everyone else. I like that quiet time to myself every Monday morning. Usually about 2 hours, and then kind of the office team will kind of do a quick touch base, no official meeting or anything, just see if anyone needs anything at that time. And then I'll move into, you know, working on my priorities through that day. But Monday's a kind of a big admin day for me.
Tell us a bit about your brain dump process.
Yeah, so the start to being able to schedule all that out and setting your priorities and when to put it all, you know, everyone's got all these thoughts in their head.
Yeah.
And it's getting those thoughts out of our head, because, you know, especially when you get a busy home life, busy work, and like you're talking construction, there's so many stakeholders, there's so much going around. You can't keep it in your head. You might keep the very, very important things that are top priority, but all the other stuff will get lost, and then a month will go by and it's like, right. Oh, I keep forgetting about that, but that's coming up in 2 months.
So where do you do that? Where do you keep these thoughts?
So I brain dump, I use my phone. So we run Microsoft Office 365 and we use Microsoft To Do in the whole company.
Cool.
So I have one list called brain dump, and I quickly put it into there, because sometimes these thoughts will pop in our head or something comes in there. Just get it in there. You can organize it later when you have, you know, you're working on your scheduling time, but you got to get it out of the brain. You got to put it in that brain dump. So I have two, I have personal brain dump and I have work brain dumps to keep them separate. And then from there, I organize them, like you're talking priorities, and when I'm working on my scheduling, is it something I don't need to worry about for 2 months? Is it something I need to worry about this week? And then kind of organize it from cool. there.
So you have this list in your pocket that's, you know, however many items long, and it's always changing. Stuff is getting crossed off, but then stuff is getting added to it. And there's seemingly all these tasks. How do you like go about looking at it and saying, this is critical, needs to be done by end of day Friday? This is, it's really important, but I actually don't need to worry about this for a few weeks.
I think, like if you've been doing your strategic planning and kind of like your longer term goals, you can kind of look at it that way. I mean, maybe an employee quit and you've got to get that position filled, and maybe that changed to be a priority. But if you're setting your bigger goals, everything is, all the little things are moving in the direction to complete the big one. So I think you're prioritizing in that way. And I mean, construction is a little bit chaotic, so things do change on site. So you do have to sometimes be a little reactionary and maybe change your priorities. But if you're not organized and you're not doing the other priorities, you're always shooting from the hip. You're always putting out fires every day, because the fires just never end, because nothing is planned out, and all those preventative things could have been usually taken care of ahead of time.
Totally. Yeah, it's such a good point. And I think we hear this from people a lot, which is, what's the point of making a plan when things change? But and I'm curious to get, you know, your guys' take on that, on how you interpret that question. But one of the things that is fundamentally true is that if you don't know your plan, you have no lens through which to look at it through, right? You know, so to your question, Benji, for Ryan, one of the key things I think he just said is, well, I decide based on what the strategic plan is. So there's an assumption there, right? And with in Ryan's case, I know he spends a lot of time building annual and quarterly strategic plans. Like, you have to know where you're wanting to take this company, because otherwise there's no lens to look through that, you know, to look at that priority through.
Totally.
Right.
And I think, you know, doing strategic plans, if you don't prioritize your time to make a strategic plan, you're not even going to have that in place. So
exactly.
You know, I think for years I did, I kind of have an idea maybe in my head where I want to take the company, but it's just going, and it's
exactly,
you know, and it's chaos every day. And some people love the chaos. I particularly don't. It's too many hours. Like you said, you give up too much fun stuff. I have more fun now than I did before. And I think for your employees too, like, I think construction has a big burnout rate. You know, people move to other companies because that company maybe was chaos all the time, and they're working 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. They're working Saturdays. Their wife's mad at them. They're not spending time with their kids. It's not just me, but it's the whole team and the company. And when you can get the whole company operating like that, you're not going to have that turnover in the company. They're going to be happy to work there because they have a balanced life. And
yeah, there is a culture of chaos, I think, that surrounds construction and contracting. Mm-hmm. And this stuff that we're talking about right now, this is kind of the antidote to it. Totally. It takes time. It's a learned skill. But when you look at the construction companies that, you know, like RJS, there's a sense of control. There's a sense of calmness. It's not to say that fires never erupt, but you guys are so much better equipped to handle that when it does happen because these practices are there. Now, going back to your brain dump for a second, you've got this list. It's changing all the time. Some stuff is critical. Some stuff is, you know, we can do it later. Where do you go from there? Like, do you write out a weekly plan on a piece of paper? Does it go into software? Like, how do you actually schedule this?
So if it's priority for the day, it'll be scheduled in that day, usually already scheduled. But say an item did come up from the last week and you've got to adjust it, I'll have the slush time in there. If it's really, really important, I can throw it in a slush block there and deal with it at that time. Or maybe it's a priority for maybe not me directly, but I've got the priority and I have it on my brain dump, but I'm giving it to one of my PMs or my office manager, or, you know, moving it on to someone else's priority task list, or maybe it's to a consultant or the city or putting it in the right place for someone else to deal with. Cause if you've brain dump all these priorities and maybe it's not you doing it, but you have to give that to someone else, it might take all of 30 seconds or a minute to send an email to put it onto someone else's plate. But if you haven't brain dumped it and it kept getting put on the back burner for weeks, and now maybe it was a city you had to get a hold of for something that's holding up your permit. Well, now you're holding up your permit and your construction because you didn't spend that 1 minute. The priorities don't always have to be big items. They could be as very simple small. As contacting this one person.
But you have to think through it.
Yeah.
That's the key.
But when you have 100 items in your head.
Yeah.
You can't manage all that. It's too much. And I think when you brain dump it off your head, there's like an instant sense of like relief in your head. Your brain is freer. You know it's down. You know you're going to get to it. It's not going to get missed. Your brain is freer to have critical thinking or thinking further in the future. You know, stuff like that.
Totally. Yeah. 100%. 100%. One of the things that I am curious about, just as we're talking about this like process stuff. So once you have this brain dump and you're looking at it on a Monday morning, what are like, where literally does it go from there? Are you then once you prioritize the moving it straight to your calendar, then that you strictly follow throughout the week? What's the tactical thing that happens thereafter?
Yeah. So, I do that Monday and then, I'll get through my tasks. And then if I've got to take stuff to other people, a lot of them usually have now where the company is to do with my team. So on our team office meeting or with our field meetings, I'll set the priorities for even those, cause that might be prior to my brain dump. or giving more tasks to other people, and then just kind of executing through them. And when they're scheduled, like if you've got that block time of an hour and a half to work on, say, change orders or something that you're working on, you stick to that time. You don't let your phone distract you. You don't have your office door as a revolving door and everyone coming in asking mm-hmm. these little menial questions that they could deal with themselves. But if you've always allowed yourself to be open to those distractions, it'll just be constant. And you hear it from guys like, oh, I need to come in on Saturday because I need the alone time to get through those change orders because all day, mm-hmm. all week, everyone else was taking up my time. So when you're doing your block time, if it's on your schedule, don't decide to do something different just because you feel like it. Finish that item, because when you finish that item, you're going to feel mm-hmm. much better. And I mean, I know things come up, but we talked about it before, like there's technically no emergency.
Yeah.
There's no emergency even in construction. Yeah. I know people think it like, oh, this happened, that happened. Well, yeah.
If you want to understand emergency, you should talk to an ER doctor.
Yeah. I mean, they say, well, what if the building's on fire? Call the fire department. What am I going to do? Yeah. there is no emergency. So work on what you're doing, and also your team should be doing the same. Like there is no emergency. You can add it to the brain dump if it's come up, and it might become a real high priority, but it's not something you need to drop everything for
totally.
And deal with.
That's yeah. the protecting part. I get that seems important to you right now, but all you're doing is shifting one of totally. Your to-dos to exactly. my to-do. And this is where the discipline comes in. That's the power of no. You're saying, yeah. it's like, no. Totally. Like, I will get to that end of day. I'm in the middle of
100%.
Blank X task right now that is in my schedule and I'm sticking to it. I believe you use Outlook. We're Google Calendar people. Some people use a, I think, you know, JD uses a pen and paper, like old school calendar. I don't know that it really matters what's like, do whatever works for you. But the point is there's a centralized place where all the tasks on your brain dump get put. And then you just wake up and execute and follow what it says there. Mm-hmm. It's almost a bit robotic. It's almost a bit, you're just like, okay, this is what it says I'm doing at 10, therefore that's what I'm doing. It is important to say, like, it is your plan is a best guess. It's not always going to be perfect, but if you can follow it, I'm going to say 90% of the time, you stand a very, very, very good chance of hitting those goals.
Now, the foundation, I just want to highlight, though, the really foundational piece to what you're saying, it doesn't matter whether it goes in a paper calendar, Google Calendar, Outlook, or whatever. What matters is that you take the time to think through what goes in there versus other people dictating what goes in there, right? That's the key thing. And the biggest thing I'm taking away from this conversation is Ryan's, you know, in his case, it's a Monday morning, but like you take that time, like it's in there, like religiously in there, that is protected, and that's where you think through what you're actually going to go and do. One of the things that I've always really, really appreciated about you, Ryan, is the amount of time and focus that you spend on all the things you love outside of work, your family, your children, your hobbies, your own like mental and physical well-being. Tell me a bit about like, how does that get scheduled? You just mentioned you have two brain dumps that you know, you have the business one and the personal one. You have a personal kind of list, like a family yeah. list, right? Is it literally like that? How do you prioritize that stuff in the midst of all the crazy things that go on in running a construction company as big as yours? Tell me a bit about that world.
Yeah, so I make my personal brain dump almost my top priority. I make sure that I've scheduled out my time for, you know, I like the outdoors, so camping with the kids or anything really with the family, I ensure that I've got that in my schedule. I mean, work is important, but the home life is really important as well. I think if your home life is chaotic and messy, how can you be effective at mm-hmm. work? You know, if you're coming to work stressed out from home, how does that help you at work? And I mean, as we all probably know, work is endless. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you could schedule 20 hours a day and you could work 20 hours a day. But that work-life balance is something that is important. Mm-hmm. And I know throughout the year and different years, it probably goes back and forth a little bit, but that you still do prioritize your home as well. Like I have two young kids, so it is important to me. And I think if you probably statistically, there's probably a very high divorce rate in mm-hmm. is business owners yep. because business owners can tend to put all of their energy into their business because mm-hmm. they want to get it to this level and get here, and they're striving so hard for it. And then in the middle of it, they got a divorce and it derailed the whole thing. And now they're grumpy and they're, you know, they're coming to work like that.
So, totally. So like, what have you achieved?
What have you achieved? So I think, you know, the priorities for home and personal are just as important as the work and the balance between them.
Mm-hmm. Do those go in your calendar first or somewhere close to first?
Pretty much first, yeah. So I will prioritize, like if my kids got a band recital or something in there, or maybe we got a special time, we're going fishing or something, I ensure that's put in there and nothing deviates it from doing that. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. we all probably felt it as a kid, like my dad was a very hard worker. And it would be like, hey, we had this plan Saturday, but sorry, this came up, so now we can't go. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you feel as a kid? You know, you're not doing that anymore. And when you talk to most parents when they get older, they're like, it didn't really matter mm-hmm. now that I look back on it. 'Cause the work is always there. It will never end. And there will always be someone willing to take your time away from it.
Totally. 100%.
And that's on the brain dump. I wanted to say, like, I do believe in technology. I think technology is super powerful. But I also think it can be a distraction. So when I'm at home, I tend to have my phone just kind of left on the little side table in our kitchen on the charger. And when I'm doing stuff at home, I don't have it on me all the time. So if I have brain dump stuff that I get when I'm at home, I have just a tiny little notepad. And I write it on the notepad. And then when I get to work in the morning, then I will input it into my system. Because everyone's probably done it. You know, you pick up the phone or you jump on your computer quick. Oh, you see an email. You see that email. And it's like 2 hours goes by and it's 9 o'clock. And you're like, oh, I didn't want to do this. I wanted to do the other things at home.
That's one of the things I've always really admired about you is like you're a very present business owner, which you actually can't say about all business owners. And I think a lot of it has to do with this set of habits. So like we've talked a bit about brain dumping, we've talked a bit about, you know, prioritizing, you put it in the schedule. Now it comes time to actually execute and follow the path that you've laid out for yourself that hopefully leads you to your goals. When you've got a 2 hour work block to do something really important, are there steps you take to make sure that you are locked in, you're distraction free, and you're going to get the most out of that time that you've allocated?
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, it developed more over the years, but the first one I started doing was the phone. The phone is a great tool, but it's also a super distracting tool. So if I'm working on invoicing at the end of the month, and that's my priority for this 2 hour block, my phone ringer will be off and upside down on my desk. I will mm-hmm. work away on the computer. Also, I have my office door closed so that everyone knows I'm working on something. And because we run Office 365, if someone needs something, they will shoot me a message on there and it'll sit on there till when I'm done, and then mm-hmm. I can get back to them. The other thing is myself and the whole company, all of our alerts are off. So no Outlook alert, no Teams message or WhatsApp or Instagram or whatever you got. Everything is off.
So for everybody. Notifications, everyone. We don't need them.
Yep. I had some big pushback when I started doing it. And then I had pushback from my own. They're like, well, I need to see that. Like, I need to know about this. And I'm like, well, no, because if you're working on this for an hour, it doesn't matter if you do this now or after you finish that task and then get to that item. And I find it, like, I'd say emails are pretty distracting nowadays for a lot of business owners. And if you've got this thing popping up in the corner of your screen constantly, how much are you working on that invoicing when you're constantly reading the little caption on the email down below? Yeah. And you're like, oh, I was waiting for that. And you jump over the email. Mm-hmm. And then your mental train of thought
just completely broke apart, right?
And people don't realize how long it takes to get back to that deep state of focus. Like, 100%. It's a few minutes, but if it's a few minutes every couple minutes, you're nowhere. So you've sort of indoctrinated some rules into your team about this. Like, they know when your office door is closed, you're focused, don't interrupt them. Nothing's an emergency. It can wait 2 hours until the block is 100%. Done. And this is a really relevant and timely conversation given where we're at right now in society, even compared to, like, let's say 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. There are thousands and thousands of designers and engineers that make our phones to capture as much of your attention as possible. There are hundreds of notifications that come up on your screen unless you do something about them. There is this just like, it's a little scary to think about, but it seems like everyone is just shifting towards this like shorter and shorter and shorter attention span. And I think if you're trying to run your business with the attention span of a goldfish, that is hugely problematic. And there's, but there, the point is there's stuff that you can do about this while, you know, the tentacles are trying to grab your attention. It's your job to block it out. So like small things for me is, you know, you put your phone face down. Mine goes on airplane mode and there's a couch across from my desk that if I have an important meeting, I throw it over there. It's 100%. Out of arm's reach and it's on airplane mode. Office doors closed. The other thing I do every morning when I wake up is I put my computer on do not disturb. I don't need a single notification from Slack or from email or from whatever. There's a designated slot at the end of my day when I get back to people on those things. And it's not perfect. There are still things that derail me, but these little tactical things you can do to create focus for yourself, that's the difference maker in my experience.
I think that people need to be aware of the amount of like notifications or distractions, whether they're literal notifications like on your phone or computer or otherwise, or these distractions that you let into your life. Like I'm blown away by how many pretty high level leaders whether they realize it or not, they are in a pretty high level position and they need to protect their mental space. Yet the things that they allow in, right, from that, like, is it whether it's Slack or Microsoft Teams, like the notifications, the WhatsApp, the text messages, the phone calls, the emails, all these things are fighting for your attention, but you can turn them off and you need to turn them off.
I think the technology distraction is one, but then there's the other human distraction.
Yeah.
And I think it's, prioritizing your time, but also working with your team to make sure that their understanding of the time priority for one themselves, but also to distract your own time. So if someone is, say, coming to me with a problem or whatever, they're not just saying like the statement, hey, the wall doesn't work, or the wall framing doesn't work. Okay, that's a statement, but what is behind it? Like, what's all the data behind why it doesn't work? Do we have some solutions? Who needs to be involved? Like the whole picture of it. And I think that's part of the training too, is when they're coming to get your time and attention for it, that they're ready for it. Not like where you're going to have to give them all the tasks that should have already done. And now they're going to come and take more time.
They're coming with a problem and putting that problem on you.
On your shoulders.
Yeah. So like one of the things that, you know, Mabel does in our team is, she ensures that if someone comes to me with something, they're not coming with their problem to me, right? It's not my job to take your problem. It's my job to check off on what direction we're taking something in the company. Right. So you need to either come with the solution for approval or come with like, hey, here's the three options. I want to run this by you. Is it a yes or no? Is it an A, B, or C? But don't come to me with your problem.
Mm-hmm. I felt for a long time that people are way better problem finders than they are problem solvers. Totally. And it's an expectation setting thing. I'm sure there's conversations you have with staff when they've been hired about this. They're like, you're like, this is how this works here.
Yeah.
I don't want you to show up. I don't want you to show up with, hey, here's an issue. I want you to show up with, here's an issue. I've identified this is the root cause. Here are a couple potential solutions. Yeah. Can you push the needle in one way or another? And you look at it quickly. You give it your experience, your thought, and you say, yeah, I think this will work. Go try it. That's a totally different conversation than like something broke and I'm desperate for your help.
Yeah,
100%. Let's move forward on this note. I want to talk about one really fascinating subject, which is how Ryan has kind of trained this level of thought, not just and this discipline and focus, not just into himself, but to the team. Let's dive a bit into that because that's a critical part of the success formula of RJS.
Yeah, I think it started with me first. I'm not going to be able to train my team or make changes in the team until I'm organized. So
100%.
The first was months of changing this and finding out the system that works for me. Cause I mean, talking to other people where, you know, I'm telling them that they need some changes in their company or their life. and you know they try it for a couple of days or a week. Well, that's not enough time. It takes repetitive time to get into this mode, and then once you start to do it, then you start to get the time freed up, and you get better and better and better and better at it. And then as you start knocking those things off your list, you know, the next step is when you're not dialed in, but once you're good, then you can start to move it into your team. Mm-hmm. You know, you can start to prioritize the training of your team mm-hmm. to follow the same things you're doing. And the same thing, it's not going to take a couple of days or a week. It's months of repetitive,
totally
regular meetings to get them on board with this. And you're going to have people that are going to push back, because naturally people don't like change. They have to think differently. They have to retrain the way they're doing it, especially if they have been doing it a certain way for a long time. But it's finding the ones that would adopt the changes early and working with them mostly and putting your energy into them, and then having mm-hmm. them help you with the rest of the team to change things.
What roles within RJS does this really matter for? It can't be absolutely. I'm sure a laborer, on site that's pushing a broom or doing like relatively physical stuff is not like creating a weekly block schedule and a strategic plan. But there would be other roles for whom it's critical. Where did you apply this effort first within your team?
So the effort first was to Karen, my office manager, who worked with me, because she was very on board with this stuff too, worked with me to kind of move this forward to the team. And then it was the office management, so the project managers and the coordinators. And then from there, it moved to the site. So once we kind of got the office going, then myself and the office starts working with the field team to start doing the same thing, where even now it's to the point where the supers are now starting to kind of do it with the laborers, because if you're a laborer, especially in a general contractor, you might want to be, you know, you might be young and just getting your experience. You might want to be a foreman and a superintendent and a project manager one day. So being able to learn these things early, even if you're not fully adopting them, but mm-hmm. you have some sort of a sense of priority management, just makes it easier as they move into those management roles.
You're almost doing like a simplified version of it. There's like grade one level, and then there's, you know, wherever you're at, mm-hmm. and you're teaching them some solid fundamentals early so that they can grow into the skills that a project manager needs one day, or an operations manager yeah. needs one day, or a business owner needs one day. So it's you've started with an office manager, and I'm assuming sat next to her and showed her how you brained up and how yep. you prioritize and how you weekly schedule. Mm-hmm. And she's adopted that now too, but it's trickled its way down to almost every level of the organization.
Yep, absolutely.
So what level of priority management and block scheduling would like a site super be operating on right now?
So, I mean, for their stuff, I mean, they're not like from an office side implementing new things mm-hmm. and doing that, but yep,
just getting it done.
Their stuff is big time on their schedules, the schedule mm-hmm. of the project. And I know things change, especially recently with supply chains and whatnot. But if you have a roadmap and it's laid out and they're staying on top of it, you know, they're doing stuff earlier to prevent those fires from happening. Because mm-hmm. usually those fires start in the site and then, you know, work their way right. up. So the more that are dealt with down at the field level, less will come to the office. So everyone will have more time to work on the stuff that they want to work on that's important. It's not eating up mm-hmm. their time and, you know, right. those last minutes.
Yeah. And do these site supers, for instance, have dedicated time in their schedule every week where they're just thinking through their priority management for that week or the one after?
So the one we do what's called GSRs, mm-hmm. goal setting and reviews. So that is a very specific time where they're actually working with someone else to ensure that their priorities are laid out mm-hmm. for the week, the month, you know, way cool. out, because, you know, certain things like just an example was a fire shutters for jobs. Well, with COVID stuff, like those are taking much longer to get. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't think of that 2 weeks before. You've got to think of ordering that months before. Right. So if you didn't prioritize looking at your schedule and blocking that and having the time to look at it, now you get to the end of the project and you can't get your final inspection because this item you didn't deal with 2 months before.
Totally.
So those are the kind of fires that I think people deal with, and some will think it's just normal because yeah. it's been going on so long. But if that yeah. was looked at much earlier, maybe you didn't have to pay to rush delivery it or whatever.
Yeah, and fundamentally, your job as a leader is really to coach and train your people to stay disciplined and focused on managing their priorities and their focuses. That's
I can't imagine though, like while that is the goal and you're there now, like this culture of chaos thing I think is super real. You must have had some pushback from staff, from people on your team. You're like, hey, you're gonna sit down for 2 hours a week and do like follow these steps. They're probably like, what the hell is this about? Like, let me just get to the site. I got stuff to do. Like, did you have pushback? How did you deal with it? How do you hold tension to these habits even today to make sure that this culture is alive and well?
So I think, one, my time is pretty organized, so I can repetitively keep the pressure on, because I think sometimes even if the owner is trying to do this with their time not properly organized, they might put pressure on it for a week and then a month goes by and then they put pressure on it and then 2 months goes by and they put pressure on it. Nothing changes, nothing happens. So you've got to keep that constant pressure, and I'm still a construction guy, so it's not like I ask nicely to do it. I'm like, this is not going away because I'm going to be all over you every week. Totally. So, and construction talk, like a, you know, maybe throw a few swear words in there and stuff, but the pressure will stay on, and I let them know that, like, until you start doing this, I am going to be on you about this.
Totally.
Yeah. I just want to interrupt you, and I know where you're going. These are really good questions. I just want to ask, another thing I've always really appreciated about you is just the level of discipline and focus you bring to something. Have you always had that? And I'm sure that there's like a natural element to this, but when and how did you become so focused in what you do?
I think I've always had it to a degree. When I want to do something, I do it. I would say before I took more of the
meandering approach,
but I would get there. And now through retraining of how I do things, I can get there faster. And it's super cool, like once it starts happening, just to see how fast you can get through like your goals, and just like, you know, you write down all your, just even if it was the top 10 main goals in a year, and how you start prioritizing stuff, you just crush those 10 goals and you finish another 10 goals, and how it just keeps going that way. And I'm a true believer in whatever you want to do, you can do it. The only roadblock is yourself. And the more you can be open to changing yourself and doing things better, it just keeps getting better. And I've told people before, like, you know, I always want to be my own boss, but ultimately, I think most business owners are like, I want to make more money. So how do we make more money? I'm going to be my own boss. It's easier to focus not on that and focus, say, on like time management and your team, and the money will fall in behind itself. Totally. Like with less effort and less stress and more fun.
Yeah.
If you, all you do is prioritize profit and money, I think you'll give up a lot of things along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of us have been there, right? You use the example of when you look at the financial statements at the end of the year and you're like, holy, we made a lot of money, but at what cost to me? So to your point, like you can absolutely get to a point where you're making good cash, but is it really like the lifestyle that you want to create in that team dynamic? That's another thing.
What does your team say about this now? Like, have you had feedback from project managers or site supers or whomever that have gotten with the program, so to speak? Like, do they like it? Do they hate it? Do they do it begrudgingly? Has their performance improved? Like, what are they saying to you?
They really love it. A couple in particular who worked for other companies in management, and you know, normal to them was 10 and 12 hours a day, Saturdays, and one in particular was working a lot of Saturdays at his previous company, and he had young family, and I mean, he came over to us for the reason, the attraction of kind of how I was telling him how we ran the company, and he came over, and he lost weight, he's way happier, he has a better home life with his wife and kids, and it's a dramatic difference. And I mean, in the industry is very competitive for employees, and they might be able to get an offer from another company or whatnot, but they've told me that like they wouldn't take it, they would never go back to that level of chaos and workload, Because the other thing too is a lot of these are salary positions. Well, if you added up the hours and how much you were making per hour, you were probably making a lot less.
Right.
So it might be more money overall, but they're much happier with it. I had one PM when he came on board 2 years ago. The first thing I started working with him on was not like the site production and the schedules and all that stuff and like putting pressure on that. The pressure I put on him was organizing his time. Mm-hmm. Like we all have shared calendars in the company. So I was looking at his calendar and I'm like, your calendar's blank and like, we need to do this. And I mean, he had an onboarding plan. So we went through the onboarding plan and my top priority was just to get him organized to learn the company, learn our other staff, learn how we do things. And it was prioritizing his time to have all those things done. And he thought it was weird. He's like, I've never had an owner like mm-hmm. look at my schedule and look at my priorities and work with me on that. And I think that when he first started, we were doing like 2 GSRs a week because, you know, everything's very new to him, right? Mm-hmm. And big changes. But he loved it because he was working so many hours and he was super stressed out when he came over to us. And like he said, he learned a lot of good construction stuff over there. But a lot of bad habits, and yeah. Now he's way happier, like way happier.
This is such a key piece. Like I'm really passionate about this point because, you know, you could look at this conversation just purely from the angle of it's all about getting more done in a day, and it certainly does help with that. But there's like this, there's a well-being aspect. There's mental health. There's confidence, like there's an emotional, spiritual side to this that this set of habits really, really brings out in people. It's not just about like purely productivity. It's way more high impact on way more aspects of someone's life. And the example of this guy you've just brought up and how his life is improved by implementing this stuff, I think is something that everyone should learn from so that's huge. Yeah. Now I wanted to kind of end on a question for you here. There's a really common objection that comes up when we talk about this at conferences with members, like just in the space in general. You alluded to it earlier. I hear this all the time. Well, yeah, I mean, all that like block scheduling stuff sounds really fancy and cool, but there's absolutely no point in doing it. My business is so dynamic. It's ever changing. Stuff comes up. You know, going through the exercise of creating a brain dump and scheduling would be a waste of time because I'll never be able to follow it. Right. So that I hear that a lot. And I want you to address that by just giving us the three biggest things. Like what have been the three hugest wins for you as a leader and your organization as a whole, having done all of this?
Yeah, I think number one is my time. I mean, before I started a business and before I had kids, I wanted to be a present father and husband. So, you know, starting a business is, you're going to go through those times where you have to work. You don't have a big team behind you yet. You know, you're working all those hours and stuff, but, it's getting that time back to enjoy life, because realistically, if you work so hard for all this, like what's the point of it at the end of the day? Mm-hmm. And it's happiness. Like I'm way happier. Like I love construction. I'm doing construction still, and it's organized, and I'm happier day to day. Like I actually had a client that we're just working with now, and he said to me many times, I love working with you because you're always happy and you're like, you never seem stressed out. And he said, you know, he's older, so he's worked with contractors before, and he has a family member that's a contractor, and he's like, they always seem super stressed out. So he actually felt better, like my happiness and my low stress like helped him through. Totally. Construction is stressful for clients, like when they're doing a building or whatever, you know, they're investing a lot of their money and energy into it, and they feel better working with me.
It rubs off on the people around them. So happiness, number one.
Happiness and the time and doing the things I want to do, like, because that's the happiness, but like personal is important to me. I love being outdoors. I love having fun and doing stuff. love getting together with friends, and I can do all of it. There's really not much that I ever miss out on. So,
so awesome.
Amazing.
Do you think you're, you know, going back to the bottom line again, like have you noticed your business's like metrics, your KPIs improve as a result of this as well?
Dramatically. I mean, I've always made money, but the net profit percentage changed dramatically year over year as this got better.
Totally.
And, you know, from myself and then to the team, and it constantly got better. And the growth got better, like the revenue growth. So we made the business bigger and better, but with low stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the first 5 years was growth at high stress, now we have growth at low stress, and it goes quite well. And that's for the team too. Like, you know, now as the company's getting older, I have employees that have been with me 10 and mm-hmm. 8 and 7 right. years, and they're still invested in the company. They feel that they've built part of this company and they're happy to be part of this company. So even though I'm happy, I'm creating happier lives for other people as well, which is a really totally. Nice feeling.
That long-term continuity is so powerful, especially as you get into the years of the business, like where you can have people that understand it from the early days and can really grow and develop and take higher and higher level leadership roles. You can only do that if you give them a good experience, right? And to what Ryan was saying with it in that example of that one person, one of the best ways to really to retain people and have them so bought in and love what they're doing is to care about them and not only their performance, but their enjoyment there. And if you as a boss, if that's your MO and your focus with them, it'll pay back in dividends, right?
Absolutely.
Ryan, this has been a really awesome conversation. I think people are going to get a ton of value just from listening. Your insight, the steps that you follow, and I want to thank you for being here. So thanks a lot.
Awesome. Thanks, Ryan. That was awesome.
Thanks.
PaintEd podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and is made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.